Well, now, let's look at our Bibles this morning, and shall we look at Ephesians chapter 1. The theme of our subject this morning is going to be, as already announced by our brother Kevin, pardoned by way of the cross. Our brother Kevin, as you're looking up Ephesians chapter 1, asked me what my subject was this morning, and we're sitting in the anteroom here. I said, pardon. And he looked and he said, pardon? I said, yes, pardon. And I guess he thought I was saying, pardon me, you see. But it wasn't that. All right, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, one verse. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Everything a sinning man needs, he finds in the cross. Everything a sinning man needs, or a sinning woman, of course, man there is in the plural, he finds in the cross. Remember last week what we were endeavoring to bring before you, what we said, how that in the heart of Christianity is really the Bible. The heart of the Bible is really the cross. And the heart of the cross is the very, very heart of God. You rightly recall that, me saying this. However, I want you to just think with me for a few moments now in this relation. You see, if the cross is nothing more than ending the life of the Lord Jesus, if really incarnate purity must be mauled, yes, to death by vile impurity. Just think of this with me. If a life of love must be brutally murdered by devilish hatred, you see, and God say nothing about it. If that is all, then I would really say that it would be possible for us to be misled by the goodness of God. But you see, there must be some other explanation to the cross of Christ. And there is. There has to be some other explanation. You see the cross in relation to human sin intelligently, and to appreciate what the New Testament teaches concerning it, we see countless men and women at the cross become not infidels, but believers. Be brought into that book. Into that area of life of really coming to be true believers of the Lord Jesus. Then at the cross, I do not see chaos, but I see the dawn of a new light. That's what that hymn writer means when he wrote that beautiful hymn. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my sin rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. That's what he meant when he said that. You see, this is what the light of God and his love coming into my heart, it makes me sing. It makes my heart sing for joy. And you see, I want now to speak this morning on some of the blessings, some of the advantages and the values that have come to man, and still comes to man, by way of the cross. I begin with the very simplest in the line of real experience with people. And with many here this morning, but I'm really wanting to reach out this morning to you if you're here and you haven't really, really been to the cross. Oh, I don't mean physically. But if you really haven't been to that place called Calvary, and there found refuge and rest at the cross, that's why the whole core of my message is about this morning. It's pardon by way of the cross. That is only the first thing in relation to the cross of our Lord Jesus. It's not the deepest thing either, although it's infinite in its depth as well. And I suggested to you last week that the next time we speak here, the subject is going to be the purity of the cross. I want to run a theme throughout these messages. And there is peace by way of the cross. And there is power by way of the cross. And then God gives His promises by way of the cross. You see, every day, I need the cross more and more. That I cannot understand all that Jesus did, I'll never be able to understand that. But, you see, the cross really touches and can take my withered soul and renew it. And can take my deformed spirit and build it up. And you see, it can take my broken manhood and really remake it. Can make me a new man. Can make me a new person. And that's what the cross is all about. You see, every day our hearts sing with new meaning concerning the cross. And I love that old hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide thyself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save me from guilt and make me pure. Oh, some of these old hymns. You know, I challenge some of these new contemporary hymns. And I really say this with all my heart. To really produce the wealth of meaning. The depth that God has given these men. Because they really knew God. You see, the first thing a sinning man needs is pardon. No matter what his status of life may be, whether he's a high or a low man in the state of society, whether he's rich or poor, whether he's bond or free, or whether he's in bondage or he's a free person. You see, the first fact that attracts man to Christianity, there isn't any question, is the fact that it proclaims a pardon. There isn't a religion in all the world, none, that can hand a man a perfect pardon and say, look, I give you into your hand the forgiveness of sins forever. There's not one, none. You see, I want you to notice my text now, just for a second. Notice it says these words, our redemption, in whom we have redemption, our redemption, our sins or our trespasses. You see, the first is our foreground. Really right immediately we're faced is our redemption. But the latter is the background where I've been, where I've come from. Where am I? What about my sins? You see, the word translated sins here, or trespasses, is really a word that signifies the actual wrongdoing, how we really are living day by day. And you see, we're restricted by the text here, and its terms has the idea of willfully doing that which I know to be right. Willfully doing wrong by the fact that I do it and I sin. We're not talking here about sin by nature. Alone is a sinner. But by willfully doing what he knows is really wrong. You know, sin is no small act. Sin is something that once committed. Listen with me, please, now. Sin is something that once committed, I can never undo. And I'm going to face it. Every act, every part of my action, I'm going to face. Unless, in the mercy of God, I'm forgiven. You see, the broken law. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And the very fact that I break God's law. You see, this brings me to realize that I have sinned. The broken law really is the marring of the purpose of God. God never intended that sin would mar this society and the whole world the way it is. But you see, this morning, the punishment of that only begins here. Yes, but it's not going to end here. Unless by the grace of God, unless by His marvelous infinite grace, the sin is ended here by my coming to the sinner Savior, the Lord Jesus. You know, sometimes I hear it said that hell is here and now. And so it is. Yeah, it may startle you a bit. And so it is. And if it could be said that heaven is here and now, so it is. But hell has not ended here. Nor is heaven ended here. It's only begun here. And you see, hell, according to the Word of God, is failure with all its consequences of failure and the failure of man. All its consequences. The fact that I have failed and sinned, you see, I have marred the purpose of God in my life, which God fully intended that never was this the plan of God for man. You see, I often have chosen to sin. In fact, that's the choice we all make. There isn't one here this morning, no matter how small or how old or how young. The sin is a choice. And oh, so is faith a choice this morning. And remember this, you're going to choose the way of life or the way of death this morning, just as sure as you're sitting in your seat. You're going to choose as to which way you're going to travel. You see, the awful thing is this, men make the choice of going to a lost hell. Is that something? Yes, they make that choice. You're here this morning. And if you haven't made the choice of the forgiveness of sin, if you haven't entered into what it really means to know the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son cleanseth us from all sins. then you see you're making the choice of living in your sins and dying in your sins, the danger. I would say there are myriads and myriads of people this morning in a lost hell that never intended to be there. Never once. Oh, they thought it's time, but time has robbed them. They were ushered out of time into eternity in such a hurry. You see, oh yes, I have sinned, I have lied, I have dishonored some human being, I sinned, but it's all right, someone says. Man, I want to say it's all wrong. And having once done the sin, it's not the tears of repentance or prayers that can atone for your sin. You cannot undo that. That's in the past. You see, you have contributed this morning to the disorder of this whole universe. Oh, that men and women could see this. And I think of so many people under the influence and the power of sin that never intended to be there. I think of how that man in his sinful condition has been bound by sin. You see, sin is never a little thing. If only man could see his trespass. If only man could see his sin and all the magnitude of its meaning. You know what would that be? You would be like the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? You see, I've sat in large congregations, and I've heard, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And the rustle of soft music is played. Oh, the tragedy of that. Do you know why? The tragedy of it is this. Sin has ruined men and women. There's hell in that. If we prayed that prayer as it ought to be prayed, it would escape us with a sob, a wail, and a cry. But thank God, there is a foreground to our text. Not our trespasses, but our redemption through His blood. Again, we want to keep to the simple things, as it were. If we were to get a whole concept or a whole thought of the larger things, it's through His blood. Whose blood? I want you to just with me for a second, if you have your Bibles with you, just turn with me for a second on over back rather to the book of Acts chapter 2. I want you to notice here Peter on the day of Pentecost. That great sermon that was the means of really 2,000 souls, 3,000 souls being won to Christ. And this is what Peter said. Notice with me now, please. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, he was making an accusation to these people. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. And I say that this morning to this congregation. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you. Yes, in the midst of you. I want you to notice that very particularly. God did among you by miracles and signs which God did by him in the midst of it, as ye yourselves know. And there's not one here that doesn't know that this morning. Now notice, him, now notice, being delivered by the determined and counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. You see, the one who never deviated from the truth or touched impurity or committed theft or chose the lowest of the low, the one who never trespassed, Jesus, the perfect man, after all kinds of criticism, the ages have set this seal on these testimonies. Listen to Pilate. Listen to the testimony of Pilate. I find no fault in him. Listen to Judas. I have betrayed innocent blood. Listen to the wicked spirits concerning the demoniac in Luke's Gospel chapter 6. Listen. I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. You see, the demons know better than sometimes men who Jesus Christ is, the Holy One of God. God himself spoke from heaven. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. You see, none can claim, and honestly, but that he was the perfect man. No, but Jesus cannot save you in his perfection. Listen, our redemption is through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You see, there is no other way. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But whose blood is it? Redeemed not with the blood of bulls and of goats of the old economy of the Old Testament. No, precious soul this morning, it's the precious blood of the Son of God. Listen, the dying, spotless Lamb of God. You see, what really happened, I cannot really tell you. I do not really know the full mystery of the cross. Alone, he trod the winepress. Alone he bore the pain. Alone he took the suffering. It was alone. Not even God himself was with him on the cross. Listen to what he cried. Words that are almost too holy for man to utter. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Forsaken by God and afflicted, wounded and put to shame. And God was causing to meet upon him the iniquity of everyone here this morning. Oh, the perfect dying, the sinless suffering, God in Christ being bruised and put to shame. Beloved, behold, the Lamb of God who came to take your sin and mine away. You see, this morning, as we look at this, the cross, in one sense, fills me with the grief because of my sin. But it fills me with joy. Joy that sometimes I have the hardest to express because Christ has triumphed over sin. He rose victorious. He went through death and gloriously confounded every foe. But maybe I'm speaking to someone this morning, to someone who's unforgiven. How can I really obtain this forgiveness? I hope somehow the Spirit of God is created within your heart. A desire. Oh, I know this, Mr. Fox. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm unforgiven. How can I obtain this forgiveness? By the mystery of the cross. First, the first and foremost thing is, you must see your need. There can be no forgiveness until there's a need. You see, all the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. That's all. That's the first step in obtaining it. What next? There must be repentance. The acknowledgement of the wrong. The acknowledgement of the sin. The Spirit, if only the power be given to turn from sin. Let me tell you about a story, and I have no verification of the authenticity of this, but a man who I know of is highly regarded tells the story, Dr. A.T. Pearson, the story of a man who was a friend of his. And this friend of his had a brother, and his friend in this particular state had been the means of saving a number of lives. By some means, I'm not told. But his brother had committed murder and had been sentenced to death in this state. His brother, who had been the means of saving a number of lives, knew the governor. Because of this act that he performed, he went to the governor and laid his case before the governor. And in laying the case before the governor and hearing this man plead for his brother's life, he wrote out a pardon for the man who committed the murder because of this man had saved the numbers of lives of people. But the brother went to the penitentiary with the pardon in his hand. And he said to his brother in the flesh, "Tell me, if you were to have a pardon, tell me, what would you do with it? What would happen after you received the pardon?" He said, "I would go out, and first of all, to that witness who condemned me to death, I would kill him. And I would shoot the judge." His brother just hung his head and walked away and tore the pardon up. All that would have ever happened, you see, it would have continued and made the whole sin worse. God will pardon men and women, though they cannot undo their past. Pardon without any merit on your part, but if your heart still clings to the sin, He cannot, He dare not pardon you. That is why there must be repentance. A turning from sin to God turned, the power will come. That's repentance. Yes, some heart here says this morning, my heart is willing, more than willing. And the next is, listen. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God who came to take away your sin and mine. If you'll just throw your all, if you'll only venture your all upon the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit will enter. And God will give you peace. You see, He is the Savior of sinners. He's the master of sin. Just come as you are. Poor, guilty, ruined, and kneel at the cross. Ah, I mean in spirit. You see, it's not a matter of kneeling here in the platform. For you see, it's not a matter of kneeling physically. Although there would be nothing wrong with that. But oh, you can kneel physically and not kneel in spirit. That's broken. A broken, lost, helpless, condemned sinner. That's what I was. 47 years ago, last month, a broken sinner under the power of the cross. Take the pardon that is offered to you this morning. Pardon free. You can never merit it. You can never work for it. You can never even pray for it. Why? It's a gift. All you do is open the hand. The open hand of faith and say, Lord Jesus, I will trust Thee. Trust Thee with my soul, guilty, lost, helpless. I come to the cross. See from that cross, yes, says Sir Isaac Watts, see from his head, his hands, those feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. To dare such love and mercy ever be shown, or thorns compose so great a crown. Beloved, we pray God this morning, where you're sitting, God will deal with your heart and bring you in spirit to the foot of that cross. For His name's sake shall we pray. And while our hearts are bowed and our heads are bowed, and if God is really speaking to you this morning or spoken, as an unforgiven sinner, will you not wait behind? Will you not just simply say, I want to know Jesus. I want to know His forgiveness. I want to know the joy of we have forgiveness through His blood. That is the case of someone this morning. May the Lord really deal with you this morning. Father, You know every heart. And as You have gone by Your Spirit from heart to heart here this morning, oh God, bring someone to the foot of the cross for repentance, for pardon, full, free. Grant it, we pray. In the name and for the glory of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.